I really don't care about it myself. But you need to care. Because they know more about you than you know about yourself. They are alive and well. They are the demons, the little gods, the dragons, Leviathan, chaos gods. Have you ever wondered why things happen like they do? Why do you ever have chaos in your individual life? Why does chaos sometimes come into your family life? Why does chaos sometimes come into the church life? And some respond like this, well, it just happens. No, it doesn't just happen. In fact, there's nothing that just happens. There is a force behind everything that does happen. It is either divine or demonic. There is no gray area in about what you're to look at and hear. If you do not have a printout, please find one quickly. Because your brain won't handle this without something to look at. We're going to connect the dots that most would rather leave undone. What we're going to talk about is real and it's been in your Bible. Many have overlooked it. Many have said in Genesis chapter 6 verses 1 through 4, I'm not about to get into that, the Nephilim. But it's interesting when you talk about David and Goliath, there's more to Goliath than you read. Where he came from, what he was involved in, what a cult they had. And so when God slayed Goliath through David, he did something fantastic, awesome, magnificent. We talk about the rock and the sling. That's pretty good stuff, isn't it, Dwayne? But you know what? There was a lot more to what actually took place in the spiritual realm. You see, in the Bible, you read about that incident, words, physical picture. But have you ever thought, what's the spiritual picture and meaning behind the physical with David and Goliath? It'll blow your ever-loving mind. Most gracious Heavenly Father, I know what we're about to look at is mind-blowing. A lot of Christians are scared to death of it. And they say, if I don't learn about it, I won't have to deal with it. Oh, yes, you will. We need to know what is taking place in the world today. We need to know what takes place behind the physical we see. What's taking place in the spiritual realm? How deadly is it? Father, I thank you for the Word of God that sheds light on all of it. For your Word, again, as a reminder to all of us, is absolute truth and absolute reality. And the devil is very much alive and well. We will do well to remember, Father, that he has game film on every human being born. In fact, he knows more about us than we know about ourselves. So let's not fool ourselves and let's not try to be little G-O-D-S. Thinking we don't need God. I can make it on my own. I can make the decisions that need to be made. But think about it for a minute, will you please? Are you all-powerful, all-knowing, everywhere present, and all-sufficient? Then how can you say you can handle things when you do not know what's going to happen 10 minutes from now? Father, open our minds. Give us spiritual understanding of this spiritual world that is about to be revealed and open before us. We ask this in Jesus' name, so we will leave this place with greater wisdom to handle what's out there behind everything that takes place. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Do you have a printout? If you don't, raise your hand. Somebody will bring you one. This is the introduction, introducing you to what you're about to get into in a very in-depth way. You'll notice the title is The Spiritual Realm. Question: is the spirit realm far more real than we've been taught? The answer is yes. Fear of disease, fear of economic insecurity, fear of death, popular topics today. There is also a real concern that our freedoms are now eroding. In recent years, Christians have endured constant pressure to compromise our convictions. And now, thanks to COVID-19, churches across the United States and the UK remained closed or are forced to submit to government oversight. While bars and gambling institutions are considered vital, churches, places where solace and comfort might be found during times of great stress, have been deemed non-essential to society. COVID-19 has changed everything. But disease isn't the only rider now roaming the globe. Unrest and insurrection dominate overnight. The world has changed completely, as if someone flipped a switch. Families, workplaces, churches, grocery stores, and public transport are forced into the new normal. Businesses, large and small alike, are torched, as if to satisfy the hunger of an increasingly angry mob. Now that's the physical that you see. But I want to know what's operating inside that mob. What is driving them? Could it possibly be an angry little G-O-D that's operating in the spiritual realm that you do not see, neither do I? But what a power it is. Question: what is the trending color? It might surprise you. Black. Black. But it has nothing to do with skin. Everything to do with anarchy. You've seen it on TV. You've heard it reported on the news. So let's define anarchy. A state of disorder due to absence or non-recognition of authority. Also defined as chaos, mayhem, and pandemonium. Question number two. Why is black used again and again by rebels and insurrectionists? It is claimed to represent the people. Claimed. But a better explanation is that a black flag lacks any symbol to identify those behind it. Black equals an absence of light. Nothing. A void with no country, no nation, and no formal government. Black represents darkness, defiance. It represents chaos, the original rebel. Go back to the Garden of Eden in your mind for a moment in the book of Genesis. You remember reading about the Garden of Eden. We say the first one that brought temptation and destruction was Satan. That's not right. There's a little god of chaos that was already at work before Satan. Back to the printout. So you have chaos, the original rebel. Because of the new normal, our economy has taken a nosedive.
Grocery prices have skyrocketed. And woe to those who want to buy a pound of beef. Meatpacking houses in the United States operate beneath the corporate umbrellas of only a few companies. China. Yeah, that's right. China owns at least one of these, leading to supply chain issues due to outbreaks in the factories. Supply chains have taken a further hit as states assert protectionist tactics regarding incoming traffic. Some states have overcome such restrictions by implementing a fleet of inhuman, autonomous semi-trucks. Self-driving vehicles have been in the news as prototypes and futuristic ideals for over a decade. But now they're a reality. In addition to reduce human-to-human interactions, sound familiar? Democrats are trying to cancel the conservative vote and conservative voice. Then there is the AI, artificial intelligence, that take care of orders online or the phone. Warehouse robots that select products to place them into boxes. Other robotic helpers that seal the boxes and add the labels, and still others that load them onto self-driving trucks. With humans confined to their homes, top of page 2, the computerized world is emerging, as you know. The Internet of Things, the IoT, serves as the inorganic replacement for a biologically based human workforce, while at the same time providing us with constant entertainment and all the goodies our government checks can pay for. Bread and circuses aplenty, and we're seeing it now in great abundance. As a result, humans are becoming both product and producer. We fill the internet with requests, web pages, blogs, and videos. Think of that the next time you spend half the day on social media. For years, these companies have trained us to make social media platforms our virtual gathering place, news portals, and entertainment hubs. As we begin to awaken, the tragedy of COVID-19 has served to awaken our senses. Bibles and books on prophecy are flying off the shelves into the hands of those who once laughed at the mention of end times and the return of our Lord Jesus Christ. Revelation chapter 6, verses 7 and 8. When he, that is Jesus Christ, the Lamb of God, broke open the fourth seal, I heard the voice of the fourth living creature call out, "Come." Underline that word "come," if you will. And here's what it means in the Greek language. The word "come" means come and see a further discovery of God's divine will. Come and see a further discovery of God's will. When he, the Lamb of God, the only begotten Son of God, the one who paid our sin debt in full on Calvary over 2,000 years ago, the one who was raised by the power of Almighty God and is alive and well, seated at the right hand of God the Father, when he, that Lamb, the only one of its kind, broke open the fourth seal, I heard the voice of the fourth living creature call out, "Come." So I looked, and behold, an ashen, that is a pale, greenish, gray horse, like a corpse, representing death and pestilence. And its rider's name was Death, and Hades, the realm of the dead, was following with him. They were given authority and power over a fourth part of the earth. I want you to underline a fourth part of the earth. Noticing it is very important, not all of the earth. And here's a note. God's judgments have a redemptive purpose. God's judgments have a redemptive purpose. That's why you see a fourth part of the earth and not all of it. He's hoping that after seeing this and experiencing this in the seven-year tribulation period, that is after the rapture takes place, that it will awaken the spirituality of those that are unsaved. And people ask me all the time, will people be saved in the seven-year tribulation period? And the answer is absolutely yes. But if you accept Christ then, more than likely, it will cost you your life. But yet, what a cost. It is a cost, but it is a good cost to receive Jesus Christ and live eternally with Him. All right, back to the printout. A fourth part of the earth to kill with the sword. Underline the word sword. It means a large battle sword. A large battle sword. And with famine. And with plague. That is pestilence and disease. And by the wild beast of the earth. I'm going to go to my notebook. I have some information that you don't have. I just want you to listen. Number one, John is startled at what he sees. This horse he's looking at is scary ugly. It is difficult to look at. It is hideous. It is repulsive. It is a symbol of death and terror. Then look at that word beast, and you might want to underline that word beast. The word beast in the Greek language is therion. T-H-E-R-I-O-N. Therion does not mean gigantic or monstrous. It means something frightful of any size. Even something microscopic, as are the HIV and E. coli viruses. We can also throw in COVID-19 now that that has taken place. And according to Matthew chapter 24, more diseases are coming that will be as bad or worse than COVID-19. Each of the three preceding horsemen appeared in disguise, if you'll notice that. Deception appeared as a peacemaker on a white horse. War as patronism on a red horse. Famine as luxury on a black horse. And this fourth horseman is no exception for what it does say about a culture like ours, whose number one industry is healthcare. We're so advanced, we say, and we think, but really the truth is, no, we're very, very sick. Go back to this horseman, if you will. This horseman will bring death to 25% of the world's population. When this begins to happen, and it is because God said it will, no man can stop this. Nothing that man can invent is going to stop it. There won't be one shot or two shots given in the arm that is going to stop what God sets in motion. That's why the greatest thing I can say to you today at this moment is to accept Jesus Christ as your personal Lord and Savior. Because at the rapture of the church, it is going to be Jesus Christ taking up His body to be with Him. After that rapture, again, referring to that, will be that seven-year tribulation period. It's going to last 7 years. It is going to be hell on earth. Demons that have been locked up are going to be released and revealed. It is not a place you want to be. So today, what is the message? The importance of it. Please receive Jesus Christ by grace through faith. Receive Him as your personal Lord and Savior. For if you don't, and the tribulation comes while you are an unsaved individual, then you will enter the tribulation and there will be no doubt about it at all. Now, the deadly rider of this horse that we've just talked about is death. When you look up death in the Greek language, it is the word thanatos, who wields the curved blade, the rompia, as he spreads a corrupting, harmful influence. Again, you can't stop it. An article published at Esquire noted the convergence of apocalyptic events with this headline: an extremely normal weekend of pestilence, locust, a fire in Chernobyl, and a volcano. The Chernobyl fire led many to reach for their Bibles, it was said. In case you don't recall it, Chernobyl is the Ukrainian word for wormwood. Revelation chapter 8, verses 10 and 11. These verses are printed for you. The third angel sounded his trumpet, and a great star, and this star is literal, fell from heaven. Is that important? Absolutely. Who's in heaven that is the judge of all mankind? It is the resurrected, glorified Jesus Christ. There is God the Father, and there is the Holy Spirit. So it's coming from heaven, telling you where it's coming from and the source of this star. It is coming from God. It is one of divine punishment. So this star, which is literal, fell from heaven as a divine punishment from the living God. It is burning like a torch that is flashing across the sky. And it fell, again, referring to divine punishment from God, on a third. You might want to underline on a third. Notice the numbers that keep going up right here. A third. A third of the rivers and on the springs. Now I want you to underline rivers and on the springs. Why is this star, this wormwood, going to fall on the rivers and on the springs? Well, get this. Pagan worship of spirits associated with rivers and springs was widespread in John's time. Now listen to what God is saying. God is saying, you have your pagan gods that you worship, and you trust them, and you have confidence in them, and you believe that they can do anything for you. Hear what I say, the living God speaks. When I bring down divine punishment, it's going to fall upon your small, puny, little, pagan gods. And there's nothing they can do to keep me from bringing divine punishment on you, the unbeliever. In fact, everything you have been putting your trust in up to this moment is going to be stripped of you. Nothing. Nothing to trust in except Jesus Christ. Let's go back to the printout. Rivers and on the springs, I'll deal with you, and I will deal with the little G-O-D-S that you have worshipped for so long, and let you know that they have no power against me whatsoever. I will destroy them. But yet in my grace, I pray that it will open your eyes and you may accept my Son Christ as your Savior. Rivers and on the springs of fresh waters, that is drinking water. Now the name of the star is wormwood. Underline wormwood, if you will. Underline that word wormwood. The first thing, and I have two things here. Number one, I'll repeat. This wormwood, he wants you to know, is a symbol of divine punishment. It is punishment that is coming directly from God, so it cannot be stopped in any way. Now, here's a second note. Think for a moment. Every drink of clean water is a drink of mercy from God. My friends, you know what it says? How many of you drink out of the faucet? You drink out of a bottle every day. Do you say, God, thank you for this mercy that you are extending me,
Because if it wasn't for your mercy, I wasn't had clean water. But because of your mercy, you give me clean water to drink. And because of your mercy, I am alive today. Because of your mercy, I've been saved by grace through faith in Jesus Christ, and I am born again. And I'm going to spend an eternity with you. Because of your mercy, I can be salt and light as a child of God in this world where you have placed me. Because of His mercy, I stand up here able to have eyes to read the Word of the living God. Because of His mercy, I can hear absolute truth and absolute reality and realize once again that I am nothing before God and you are nothing before God and God is everything. How did you learn that? By the mercy of Almighty God, by allowing me to receive the Word of God and read the Word of God by His mercy. Think about it. By His mercy, they have had clean drinking water. And now the mercy is gone. And now He poisons what was once mercy in their life. Thank you, God, by your mercy I can praise you. Thank you, God, by your mercy I can pray to you. Thank you, God, by your mercy that's given me, I can love a husband and wife. I can love my children. I can love people. I can love the people of Almighty God. By your mercy, I exist. And take away that mercy and you say, what is mercy? It is God meeting your needs. So the next time you take a drink of water, when you leave this place, remember, it is by the mercy of God that you have clean water to drink. He gave it, and He can take it away.
Back to the printout. The third angel sounded his trumpet, and a great star fell from heaven, burning like a torch, flashing across the sky, and it fell on a third of the rivers and on the springs. You might want to underline those phrases, third of the rivers and on the drinking water, and say, by the mercy of God, I had it.
I think what an unbeliever will say is every unbeliever, Christ rejecter, stands at the great white throne judgment, which is so beautiful. It's not a judgment of salvation, but a judgment of damnation. Can't you just hear that individual say, at one time, I had your mercy. You sent this man over to my house, this woman over to my house. So many things you allowed to occur in my life to get my attention to realize I could have been dead in this accident. But by your mercy, you saved me. By your mercy, you rescued me. By your mercy, I should not be here. I exist as a result of the mercy of God.
Then there's the name of the star is Wormwood. And a third of the waters became wormwood.
And many, underline the word many. He didn't say all, he said many. There are many people that are going to die without Christ. But wouldn't you think as you're standing around those that are Christ rejecters and they're going to die, they're going to reject Christ as personal Lord and Savior? Can't you just hear God saying, come on, come on, You watched your mother die. You watched your father die. You watched your good friends die. You watched your children die. You watched your baby die. There's just not enough to go around. But by the mercy of God, you're still left. Take what I offer you through the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ and be saved, 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 born again by the grace of God. Let's just throw another word in there. Born again by the mercy of God. He says many people died from the waters because they had become bitter, that is, toxic. The prophetic alarm bells are ringing. It's as though the riders of Revelation have formed up and are galloping past. Conquest, war, famine, and death have taken over the world. In this study, we will unmask the spirits behind the chaos, the giants, the small gods, and the ancient dragons. You say, well, you must have had nightmare. Bad dream. You must have had crawfish last night. Well, you know what? It's in your Bible. Read it. Not read over it. Read it. Read it in context. The Leviathan. The dragons. The chaos. The demons. They're all in there. And you know, some Christians say, well, I guess the writers of the Bible just needed some filler material. May I say to you, what you say is weird in the Bible is weird important. Because the Bible has no filler material in it. Everything you read in the Bible is for you and I to be aware of and receive. Back to the printout. We will find out why this spiritual war exists, where we've been, how we got here, and where we are headed. That's your introduction. Next Sunday, we're going to dive into it. Can I ask you a question? Where exactly was the Garden of Eden? Somebody told me it was just all spread out there. You know, one big piece of flat land. That's not what the Bible says. And what about the angels? What do you call them? Did you know they're also referred to as watchers? You see, there was somebody watching the daughters of men. Genesis 6, 1 through 4. And those angels watched a little too long, like David did with Bathsheba. Well, let's go down and get all those women we can handle. I thought, boy, if there's an angel that can handle more than one, I want to talk to him. And they had children. Ophelia. Giants. Titans. There's a whole lot of activity out there that you don't see in the spiritual realm that is causing a lot of chaos. Then go back to Genesis chapter 1, verse 1. God started creating, didn't he, through Jesus Christ. But something was barren and void, right? But I never read of anything else that God created that created like that. Oh, the God of chaos was already at work before Satan went to work. Come back and see me next Sunday morning. We're fixing to get into it. We're going to connect the dots from the beginning to the end. Most gracious Heavenly Father, we thank you, Lord Jesus, for this day. We thank you that you allow us to do more than just read the Bible, but actually study it.
And give us the understanding that is needed, spiritually speaking, to not shy away from this, but to say, Lord, by your mercy, educate me. So when the God of chaos comes into my life, and he will, if he hadn't already been there, give me the understanding I need on how to handle it. For you tell me that I have victory. I am an overcomer. I am a champion in Jesus Christ. And by the power of Almighty God, I can win every test and survive every test and learn from every test. Thank you, Heavenly Father, for your mercy. Without it, where would I be? In Jesus' name, we pray. Amen. Let's stand.